Hey there, everybody. Welcome to Up All Night, a horror anthology podcast. My name is Cortland, and with me today is Brandon. How you doing, Brandon?
Oh my God, I'm doing so great.
Any reason why?
I've been waiting for this day, Cortland, for all my life.
Mm-hmm. You know, honestly, it's been long overdue, not just since the podcast started, but just in general.
Yeah. You and I met when we were 12 years old.
Yeah, we're like circa 2001. Perhaps.
Yeah, we're both mid-30s now, and I feel like I've been telling you that we need to watch this movie for most of our friendship.
Yeah, you're right. Oh, yeah, I just thought about it too, Brandon. Your birthday's in a couple of days. It's tomorrow for you, isn't it?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, happy early birthday. What a birthday treat for you, Brandon.
Oh my God, this is the best birthday ever.
Well, what's making it so great? Will you tell us? The suspense is just killing me.
Okay. Today, Cortland, for 1993... we are talking about a little movie called We're Back! Exclamation mark, a dinosaur's story.
We're Back, a dinosaur story.
Yeah. What a title that just rolls right off the tongue, huh?
Brandon.
Yes?
Do you love We're Back, a dinosaur story?
Of course I do.
Mm-hmm.
Who wouldn't?
I don't know. Somebody I don't want to talk to.
So, Cortland, let me ask you.
Sure.
What did you think of We're Back, a dinosaur's story?
I have very mixed feelings about this movie, Brandon.
Between, like, you love it and you really love it?
It's between it's my favorite movie and I just love it so much. I want to be a part of it. I want to time travel back to 1992 when they were doing the voice work and be a character in this movie, okay?
Yeah, so you can't decide if it's, like, number one on your list of favorite movies. Or like number two on your favorite list, but number one is like We're Back, a dinosaur story, but like in Spanish or something.
Yes. Yep, exactly. Oh my God, Brandon, this movie is ridiculous. Okay, so one of the wonderful things about this movie is that it is a very short movie. It's 1 hour and 12 minutes long. So
and
that's great.
I've seen this movie dozens of times.
Uh-huh.
And I never knew that fact. Like I never considered how long it was. And you mentioned that it was short, and I went and looked it up, and I was like, oh, wow, it really is that short. And when you take out the credits
mm-hmm.
and the, like, you know.
The parts with the bird? Yeah.
Yeah, everything. Oh, God, we'll get to the bird. But when you take away all the parts that aren't the main story, like, this is, like, 60 minutes long.
Yeah, it moves. It doesn't stop moving, which is good. Like, it.
Especially for animation, because if it stops moving, it's just a drawing.
Right. It keeps you entertained, I guess, the whole time, which is what it should do. Now, Brandon, let's talk about kind of like the animation. Do you like the animation for this movie? Like the backgrounds and everything?
Okay, I'm going to try to be objective here.
Okay.
It's not a pretty movie.
Okay, good. I don't think it's a pretty movie either. It's not bad. But it's not great.
This is a movie that I obviously have some nostalgic fondness for.
Okay.
But this movie has some problems.
Tell me more.
Like we mentioned, it's not nice to look at. The story makes absolutely no sense.
No.
The characters are, for the most part, unlikable.
Yeah.
There's no reason for anything to happen.
Right. And one of the surprising things for me, Brandon, I'm just going to cut in here. The span of this movie, it takes place within 24 hours.
Well, it has to. Like, we've got 60 minutes of story here.
There's no time jump. There's no, like, 1 week later. It all takes place in a very relative short amount of time.
You can't, because there's just not enough time to be spanning multiple days, you know? Or you'd be spending 2 minutes per day, and that's just not enough time.
Sure.
But maybe we start at the top here.
Okay, let's do it. So this movie starts out without dinosaurs. We start in like a birdhouse, like in a tree. Okay.
And why?
I don't know what the choice is here.
Like I said, I've seen this a lot of times, but I always forget about this framing device for this movie because it's so unnecessary.
It's so stupid. It could just literally start in prehistoric times, but they're like, nope, we're going to have this baby bird get beat up by his brothers and want to leave the nest and join the circus because that's what one of the characters in the actual movie, that's his goal. And it's really stupid. So This bird, he fights with his brothers. He's like, I'm out of here, mom. Fuck off. I'm going to join the circus, right? So he's got
a like Elvis style pompadour.
Ugh. Yeah.
But made of feathers because he's a bird.
I will say the animations with the birds pretty nice to look at.
I feel like they wanted to make a movie about birds.
Yeah.
And they were making a movie about birds. And they were like, Steven Spielberg's making this movie about dinosaurs, and dinosaurs are about to be hot shit. So,
oh, they put that in there too.
We need to put dinosaurs in this movie. And they're like, fuck. Well, we just made like 5 minutes of birds. And they were like, whatever, add 40 minutes of dinosaurs and we got a movie.
Yep. I feel like that's exactly what happened. Because the animations for the birds is probably my like the best animations. You know, the eye movements and movements in general for the birds are great. And then he jumps out of the nest. He can't fly yet, so he fucking crash lands into a golf course where the main character, Rex, is there, who is a T-Rex. And he's like, hey, bird, what are you doing? And he's like, I'm going to join the circus. And Rex is like, oh, I remember this one time. My friend was going to join the circus. Let me regale a tale for the next 45 minutes about it. And the bird's like, okay, I got time. So that's the plot.
But not like, that much time.
No.
I've got 60 minutes.
It's so unnecessary. So basically Rex is like, I used to be stupid. Here's the way I got smart and was in New York. Let's watch. So we do. We go back to prehistoric times where Rex is like a not talking, evil, angry dinosaur, and he's stomping around.
He's not evil. He's just a dinosaur.
Okay, he's misunderstood, right?
He's just a dinosaur. He's a carnivore who needs to eat other creatures to survive.
Yeah.
And that's all he's doing.
Well, thankfully, Brandon, this movie is all just actually a commercial for cereal, because like some alien comes out of the fucking sky, drop lands in there, and is like, hey, come eat this cereal. And Rex is like, well, he can't talk, but he's just like, I'm hungry. I'm going to follow this alien and hopefully eat it. And he gets trapped in a spaceship and they feed him. They force feed him just an ass load of cereal.
Brain grain.
Mm-hmm. So like I said, this is actually just a commercial for breakfast. Kellogg sponsored this movie. And if you don't eat breakfast, you're stupid.
You're a fucking idiot. You're like not even evolved.
So yeah, he gets smart and develops the voice of John Goodman. And
if you eat cereal, you can become John Goodman, too.
Oh, that'd be pretty great, actually. Although I think he was quite alcoholic at this stage of his life. You know, this is around
Goodman I can get.
this is around when Roseanne was, like, super popular, and I think he had some
alcohol. All Goodman's all good, man.
So we're introduced to the good professor, Dr. New Eyes, Brandon.
yeah, that's a great name.
Yep, this old man who has transcended time and space, and he collected dinosaurs, and we don't know why yet, but we are introduced to the other dinosaur cast. We have Elsa the pterodactyl, we have Dweeb the pachycephalus, I don't know what it is, and we have a triceratops named Woog, which Woog loves to say his name is Woog.
Yeah, and surprisingly, like, he does love to say his name is Woog, but it wasn't until I was an adult that I was like, wait, his name's Woog? Like W-O-O-G?
Yeah.
I thought he was saying like rude, but with a speech impediment.
Nope, he doesn't have a speech impediment. What he does have is dirty jokes about hot dogs, Brandon.
Yeah, we all do.
You're right. I do have one in my back pocket. I'm not going to say it, but so they get introduced to all the other dinosaurs. Rex is like, I am Rex, because he's got like a name tag on and he can read now and he's a smarty. And they're all eating hot dogs. And then Dr. New Eyes comes in and he's like, hey, I got this fucking radio thing that broadcasts in bubbles all of the children's wishes from sometime in the future, but not the too far future, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So I'm present, completely with you so far. This is making day, a lot of sense.
Yeah. Present day 1993, because that's the time he is focused in on for some reason. He can go anywhere in time and space, but he likes 1993. So the kids are all like, oh, I wish my sister were nicer to me. I wish I had this sweet hat for Thanksgiving. But most of them are just like, I wish I saw a dinosaur, Daddy.
And in 1993, that was probably what most kids were thinking.
It's very true. Yep. So he's like, all right, kids, you know, referring to the dinosaurs, I'm going to teleport us over to 1993, New York, and I want you to go to the Museum of Natural History and be on display for kids to see so that they'll be happy.
The Museum of Natural History.
Yeah. Run by Julia Child, of all people.
Mm-hmm. The voice cast for this movie, Cortland, is just like the most random selection of people you could imagine.
Yeah. You got Jay Leno. You have Rhea Perlman and John Goodman and Julia Child.
And Walter Cronkite.
Yep.
And Martin Short, for some reason.
Weirdly Smith. It's ridiculous. But, so, Dr. New Eyes warns the dinosaurs that his evil brother, Dr. Screw Eyes.
Yeah. What's wrong with Dr. Screw Eyes?
He's got, like, the screw
Professor
for an eye.
Screw Eyes. I'm sorry.
Oh, whoops. He's gonna get me now.
Yeah, so he's got a screw for an eye. And so he changed his name.
Yep, he's evil now.
He used to be George New Eyes. But now he's like, well, now I got... Well, he lost an eye. A bird took his eye. So he was like, well, I don't have an eye. So I could put on an eye patch or I could put a giant screw in there. I'll go with the screw.
He could have asked his brother, who seems to be like a nice guy, like, hey, bro, you can create time travel and radios that bubble up kids' wishes. Can you make me a new eye, too? And the brother was like, no, fuck you. I'm going to go off to prehistoric times. So, like, I don't blame him.
Yeah. Screw it.
So the spaceship goes to 1993, and for whatever reason, he straps some backpacks on the animals, on the dinosaurs, and he just pushes them out of a hatch, and they are plummeted to Earth. And he's just like, all right, good luck, you know, make your way to the Museum of Natural History or whatever. So they just like plummet down to Earth. Thankfully, he was nice enough to put them in water so they didn't fucking die. Although they do have like parachutes in their backpacks. So, one of the wishes too that Rex is fixated on is this kid who's like, oh, I wish I just had one friend, right? And he's like, oh, that's so sad. So cut over to the Earth where they crash land on that child who is trying to make his way through the ocean with a makeshift raft for some reason. He wants to join the circus is what he wants. They crash and destroy his fucking ship, right? And they just like jump on this raft that they fell with and they're like, all right, let's go to New York. And the kid's like, whoa, use his dinosaurs. And they're like, yep. And that's pretty much it.
He's like a little bit surprised that there's dinosaurs in New York, but like not that much.
No, and that they can talk in full English sentences and stuff. He's like, yeah, this tracks.
Yeah, that's just fine.
One of the things I found interesting is that the dinosaurs just jump up on the raft from the deep water, right? They're just like, huh! And they get themselves on the raft. And then Dweeb uses his tail to create a motor and they go to like the shore. Now they get to the shore and all the dinosaurs get off except for Rex, who falls into the water and he starts like drowning immediately because he can't swim, even though he just swam and jumped up on the raft like 5 minutes ago. So
he needs to eat more brain grain. Like,
I guess
he's losing his smarts.
They forgot to ingrain him with the ability to swim, even though they did before. So Joey is the kid that they met, right? And there's a derelict like a caterpillar excavator nearby. So he jumps in that. He turns it on. He scoops out Rex from the ocean. And they are like best friends after that. That's all it takes, Brandon. So the dinosaurs talk about how they got to get to the Museum of Natural History and they got to like avoid Dr. or Professor Screw Eyes. And the kid's like, whatever, I want to join the circus. So they're like, okay, well, we'll go with you. So they go into New York just as Julia Child's character, Dr. Bleep, is like there to greet the dinosaurs. Whatever. Doesn't matter.
No, it doesn't.
She's there to greet the dinosaurs, but she just missed them. So her character just kind of bumbles around putting up posters for the museum and talking like Julia Child for no reason.
Well, she's lovely. Who wouldn't want to hear Julia Child just talk?
That's a good point. She just talks like random fucking sentences, though. I don't know. Did Julia Child just do that, though?
She didn't
just,
get a script.
Here's a mic,
they just
Julia.
Just told her to talk.
I think that's what it was. Let's see. So Joey is like, all right, I don't know where we're going, so I'm going to jump on this pterodactyl. She's going to fly me around, and we're going to like pinpoint where we're going, right? So he does that, and they fly around, and it looks pretty interesting. I don't think it looks bad. Like, the animation of them swerving around buildings and stuff looks pretty all right for 1993. I assume the budget for this movie wasn't that high, but they made it work. They fly over to a girl. Her name is Cecilia. And she's sad, okay? Because she's in this beautiful, gorgeous, gigantic apartment. But damn it, her parents don't love her. Well, they do, but they're just never around.
I mean, that's fair.
Yeah, it would be pretty sad. She's got this awesome hat on, though, and she's like, but I got this hat for Thanksgiving because it's going to be Thanksgiving because that's a plot point there. And she's like, I can't leave. And Joey's like, well, how about you just leave? And she's like, okay. So she throws her hat away and jumps on the pterodactyl, and the hat falls on the girl that made a wish that she wished she had a Thanksgiving hat, and it's all happy, and she loves it. It's great. It's beautiful. So she gets flown back to the dinosaur. She meets them all, and she's like, aha, it's such a pleasure to meet you in my Yeardley Smith voice. And everybody's like, all right. Because she literally greets each dinosaur individually. It takes forever. It's like 60% of the runtime. Enough of that. Mm-hmm. They got to get over to the Museum of Natural History. So they hijack the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade, Brandon. They somehow like attach the dinosaurs to like strings and stuff, and they're on a big float. I don't know how the kids got that, but they start walking through the parade, and then all the kids around are like, oh, this is awesome, because Jurassic Park is literally in theaters as they show, and I love dinosaurs, and yeah, it's great, because they have this musical number about rolling back the rock to the dawn of time.
Oh, yeah. They've got a musical number, all right.
They have one musical number. That's all they can afford.
But it's a doozy.
It's a good one.
They told their music team, they're like, hey, we've got one song, and you got to knock it out of the park. And they said, did.
Yeah, they said, make it a bop. And they did. And John Goodman, the virtuoso that he is, sings it. And it's all I needed in my life. Just John Goodman singing. So that stuff happens. And then everybody realizes, like, oh, these aren't robot dinosaurs. These are real dinosaurs. And chaos ensues.
Yeah. They're like, oh, there's dinosaurs. I love dinosaurs. And then they're like, wait, those are dinosaurs?
Ah! Yep. And everybody scatters. All the dinosaurs break up. And they have marvelous misadventures, like fucking
they call in like the National Guard, and
yeah, the pterodactyl gets chased by helicopters. Dweeb and Voog or whatever, they jump on a motorcycle, and it's, I guess it's the highlight of the movie, Brandon, this chase scene.
It's the most action-packed part of the 60 minutes, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And the dinosaurs, they get separated from Louis and Cecilia, and they're like, all right, meet us at Central Park. That's where the circus is. We're joining that circus. So the kids go to the circus and they're like, hey, Professor Screw Eyes, can we join your circus? We just laughed at your clown telling a horrible joke. And he's like, no. So they're like, well, can we do it anyway? And he's like, okay, sign this contract.
That's exactly how it happens.
Yeah. So he's like, sign this contract. And they're like, okay. And then they poke themselves in the finger there's a lot of blood in this movie. Like, I mean, it's not a lot, but it happens like three times. So they poke their finger and a bubble of blood like bubbles up on their finger, and they push it onto the contract. And then it all just like magically like unfolds, and they realize that there's a whole bunch of shit on there that they couldn't read before because it was invisible. And basically, Professor Screw Eyes owns these children because Cecilia's like, this was stupid, but I'm going to do it anyway so I can be with Louie.
So
not the brightest kids.
He's just some guy with a missing eye, but also magic.
Yeah, a little bit.
Also, like, a little bit of the devil.
Yes. So he has this pill called, like, Brain Drain, where if you eat it, you will, like, de-evolve, like a Pokemon. Yeah,
it's just a coincidence that his brother has Brain Grain, which should be Brain Gain. Mm-hmm. And I've always thought that, but it's not. It's Brain Grain. And then his evil brother has Brain Drain.
Right.
I'm sure there was no
copyright infringement, nothing, I'm sure.
Yeah, no stolen ideas or anything. They were just both independently working on foods that affects your brain.
Exactly. No coincidence, nothing. So the dinosaurs walk up because they're like, oh, we found the circus. And it's too late. The kids have already signed their life away. And they're just under control of Screw Eyes, right? Because he like looks at them and they're like hypnotized. And he feeds them the pill, and they turn into monkeys. They're just two monkeys. And Dr. Screw Eyes is like, well, dinosaurs are awesome. I want them in my show. If you want these kids back, you got to become my dinosaurs. And they're like, ugh, fine. We'll do it. So the dinosaurs walk away, and the kids are set free. He rips up the contract. The kids wake up the next morning and that stupid clown from before is like, "Hey, I made you some pancakes." And the kids are like, "This is awesome. I love pancakes. This is the best day of my life. But wait, where's my dinosaurs?" And he's like, "Oh, you don't want to see them." And the kids are like, "Actually, I do. I've known them for 24 hours. They're my best friends. I want to see these dinosaurs." So he brings them over to center stage where the dinosaurs are caged up and they're back to their normal savage selves again. And they're like, "Oh, man, we got to get them out of here."
I liked it better when it was John Goodman.
Who didn't? So the kids, they concoct this plan with the clown because they're like, "Hey, you're awesome. You don't need to be having this Dr. Screw Eyes around. You're your own independent clown." And he's like, "You're right." So they dress up as like monsters so that they can be part of the show and they can get closer to the dinosaurs. I didn't mention this before, but Professor Screw Eyes, he has that same radio that his brother does, but it unleashes nightmares. So he finds out that kids are scared of dinosaurs, even though they all want dinosaurs.
Yeah. But we've seen at the parade that kids don't know what they really want.
Exactly. They want Jurassic Park, but they don't really want Jurassic Park.
I wonder who is older, Professor Screw Eyes or New Eyes, because it seems like Professor Screw Eyes has a little bit of a like little brother jealous of his older brother's inventions. And he's just like, "Well, I'm going to make my own version that makes nightmares instead."
Well, considering they're like literally the same character, just one has a screw eye. I would say that they're identical twins, but also Dr. New Eyes or Captain New Eyes, as he's listed in the IMDb credits here, he can transcend time and space. So wouldn't he technically be older because of that? Like he is immortal, essentially.
I don't know. He just lives in 1993 forever.
Yep. Just replays the same year over and over again. Let's see. So next up, we get to watch the carnival happen, and that's very spooky. Like a bunch of guys and girls just come to the carnival to be scared, and the kids don't understand that because being scared is dumb. And well, according to them anyway, so they like scare some people that are walking in and they're like, "Oh, I don't get this." And it's like, "What? Aren't you here to save some fucking dinosaurs, kids? Come on." So they unleash the dinosaurs after a couple of spectacles there. And Joey sees that Rex is like savage and he's like, "Oh man, I just got to go and talk to him." So Dr. Screw Eyes is like, "All right, unleash the dinosaurs." And they unchain Rex and Rex grabs Professor Screw Eyes with his tiny arms and lifts him up and he's about to eat him, which was like, "What the hell are you doing? Why did you let that happen to yourself?" But Louie comes over and he's like, "I love you, Rex. The power of friendship is going to save the day." And it does, Brandon.
Yeah. It's like the end of Pokemon, the first movie, where Mewtwo's like going to kill everyone in the whole world. And Pikachu's just like, "Pika, Pika, Pika, Pika." And then Mewtwo's like, "Shit, being evil's wrong. I understand that now."
It's exactly that. I mean, Louie's just like, "Oh, come on, Rex. Don't be a jerk." And Rex is like, "All right. I'm gonna be John Goodman now." So he's saved. He puts down Professor Screw Eyes because he doesn't want to eat him anymore because he probably tastes like shit. And Cecilia and Louie they go up and they hug all the other dinosaurs and they're back to normal. And then Professor New Eyes comes out. So all the people that are watching this thing, they're just like, "Okay, well, this is dumb. We're gonna leave now." And Professor New Eyes comes with his flying contraption and takes everybody away. And Professor Screw Eyes is alone and he's like, "Oh, I don't like being alone. I'm scared because the birds is going to get me." And then the birds do get him, Brandon. These ravens come and they fly on him and then they fly away and he is gone except for his screw eye. So they have just consumed him completely, left no crumbs. Okay.
Eating watermelon and spitting out the seeds. They're just like, screw.
Instantly, though, he's just gone. And then a raven comes and grabs the screw and flies away. So he is gone. And I think that's kind of the end, isn't it?
They ate his bones.
Every morsel of him. Like I said, Brandon, no crumbs.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, I just noticed. They ate his entire skeleton.
Yeah. Birds, Brandon. Birds.
But the screw is too much for them.
Right. So we get to, I don't remember if there's any more with Professor New Eyes, but basically, you know, Rex continues his story with the bird and he's like, "And everybody live happily ever after." All of Louie's parents, so they get to back together. Everybody's happy. Same with Cecilia. It's wonderful. Everybody's so happy. And the bird's like, "Oh, well, I guess I'll go back home." You know, so he goes back home. And for whatever reason, he's like, "Oh, I'm a bird now. I know things." And then his brothers and stuff are like, "Okay, you're cool." And that's the fucking end of the movie, Brandon.
Yeah, and the audience is still like, "Who cares?"
Yeah, exactly. But that was We're Back, a Dinosaur Story. Fucking done.
Maybe the whole point with the birds was like, dinosaurs evolved into birds.
I don't think we even knew that at the time, though. So,
well, I mean, that was the whole thing in Jurassic Park.
Oh, okay.
Raptor means bird of prey.
Oh, okay. I mean, overall, Brandon, I don't know. It's a movie. It was entertaining, I suppose.
Yeah, maybe you'll appreciate it more on your second viewing, and maybe your third, fourth, fifth. You'll learn something more each time.
Just gets better and better. Do you want to pick a movie for 1994?
Oh, shit. I forgot about 1994.
That's okay.
I mean, just from memory, that's a pretty big year. Like
Pulp Fiction.
Pulp Fiction. Lion King. Shawshank Redemption.
Pagemaster. Yeah.
Forrest Gump.
Little Rascals. I remember that. The Flintstones. John Goodman back.
All right. Looking at this quick list of best movies of 1994, I'm going to say my favorite movie from that year is Ed Wood.
I've never seen Ed Wood. I'll watch Ed Wood.
Fantastic fucking movie.
Okay, let's do Ed Wood.
All right. That was easy.
I know. I'm just ready to go, Brandon.
Yeah.
I'm tired. All right. Let's do Ed Wood. All right. Well, that's all I got for you for We're Back a Dinosaur Story. I'm going to let you go, Brandon. I'll see you next week.
All right. Bye, everybody.
Bye.